I remember the first time that I was asked to share a short devotion with a group of people that I did not know. I was very, very nervous. And I was on a mission trip to Port Sulphur, Louisiana. And we were there working on houses for families who had lost everything in Hurricane Katrina. The devastation that we saw was gut-wrenching to witness. The hurricane had destroyed so much for so many people and had all been done just in one fell swoop. I was in the 11th grade, and I had been wrestling with a call from God that He had placed on my heart to go into ministry. And so the team that I was placed on for this particular trip was putting in wood floors in a house for a lady named Miss Camilla Williams. And Miss Williams' new house was being built probably about 200 yards from the levee that had been overtaken by water in Hurricane Katrina when it came through. And for our devotion that day, we walked up to the levee and we sat down to read some scripture, and the topic was hope. We turned in our Bibles to Hebrews 10:23, and it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful." Hope. The hope we find in Jesus Christ is greater than anything that this world can offer us. I had a conversation with Miss Camilla not long before that devotion, and we talked about how so many people had tried to talk her into leaving Louisiana after that storm, because it had been so devastating for her and her family, and they didn't want her to have to experience another disaster like that. But she said, "This is my home. God has protected me, and He will keep me safe. This is where I'm supposed to be, and I have hope that Jesus will protect me." You see, Miss Camilla was a witness for Jesus to her community. She told everyone who would listen about how God had protected her from that storm and provided a new way for her to have a home through the work of mission teams that God had sent down to Port Sulphur to serve others. She wasn't afraid to let people know that God was on her side and that He could be on their side too. Seeing this kind of faith and boldness that Miss Camilla carried for Christ changed me and gave me the strength that I needed to speak out as well. We don't always think of getting to share our relationship with Christ to others as a gift, but we should. I was in my car listening to the Christian radio station the other day, and a familiar song came on, and this line just popped out at me as if I had never heard the song before, even though I had. And it said, "You didn't want heaven without us, so God, You sent heaven down." God, the creator of the universe, the maker of night, day, light, dark, land, sea, animals, and all of mankind, thought it was important to create you and me. And not only did He create us, but He did so knowing that we would disobey Him, that we, mankind, would give into temptation and do exactly what we were asked not to do. In disobeying God, we separated ourselves from Him because we invited sin into our hearts and lives. And not wanting to be separated from us, He sent His Son Jesus, who knew no sin, to take the punishment for our sin, because He loved us. And He chose us and He chooses us over and over again, even though we continue to mess up. The greatest gift you will ever receive, if you choose to accept it, is the gift of salvation. Forgiveness from all those things that you did that you're not supposed to do will be wiped clean, and you get a clean slate. And not only do you get a clean slate, but you are given the gift of a promise that one day when you breathe your last breath on this earth, you will join God in heaven to live in perfect peace for all eternity. As Christians, the gift of God's grace and mercy transforms us, transforms our spirit, and renews us from the inside out. And it is our calling as Christian people to share this transformation. I think we can do this three different ways, and it's spelled out in our text for us today. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be starting with verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. In his book, Led by the Carpenter, D. James Kennedy writes, "A man walked into a little mom-and-pop grocery store and asked, 'Do you sell salt?' 'Ha,' the proprietor said. His name was Pop. He said, 'Do we sell salt? Just look.' And Pop showed the customer one entire wall of shelves stocked with nothing but salt. Morton salt, iodized salt, kosher salt, sea salt, rock salt, garlic salt, seasoning salt, Epsom salts, every kind of salt imaginable." "Wow," said the customer. "You think that's something?" said Pop. He said, "Come look at this. Come take a look." Pop led the customer back to a room filled with shelves and bins and cartons and barrels and boxes of salt. "Do we sell salt?" he said. "Unbelievable," said the customer. "You think that's something?" said Pop. "Come on, I'll show you salt." Pop led the customer down some steps to a huge basement, five times as large as the previous room, filled wall, floor to ceiling with unimaginable forms and sizes and shapes of salt. Even huge 10-pound salt licks for the cow pasture. "Incredible," said the customer. "You really do sell salt." "No," said Pop, "that's just the problem. We never sell salt." "But that salt salesman, oh boy, does he sell salt." Salt that stays on the shelf doesn't do any good at all. What is the purpose of salt? To season, to melt, to preserve. We could go on and on about the many ways we use salt, but the simple fact is this: if salt is sitting on a shelf doing nothing, it is no good. Just like you and me as Christian people, if we're not doing anything to tell others about Jesus and what he has done for us and what he can do for them, well, then we're just as useful as salt sitting up on the shelves of Pop's grocery store. Mark 16:15 tells us, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation.'" When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within us and makes us new. I want you to think about the last time you got something new. Maybe a new car, a new cell phone, new shoes. Whatever you got, I want you to think about that thing, and I want to ask you this. When you got it, did you try to hide it? Did you try to put it in a box somewhere in your house or in your garage and say, "Oh, that's so special, I don't ever want to use it because I don't want to mess it up"? No, you use it, and you use it with great joy, wanting to share with others how much it means to you. That brings me to the second part of our text, still in Matthew chapter 5, but looking at verses 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I remember one of the first times I went camping. As most of you know, or you're about to know, my dad was my youth minister. And so sometimes that had its perks, other times it did not. But on this particular occasion, the RAs always took a camp out. They went on a camp out to a church member's farm that was out in the country. So after some begging and pleading with my dad, I talked him into letting the GAs accompany them on this camp out. So here we go, off to the middle of the country to sleep outside under the stars, and it was going to be so much fun. Well, let me tell you, when you're outside in the middle of nowhere in the woods, it gets dark. And not just like this, oh, it's so peaceful, but the kind of dark that I can stick my hand out in front of my face and I cannot see it. I wasn't that experienced of a camper, and so I was not that prepared. But luckily, my friend Lauren, who accompanied us, she was experienced and she brought a lantern with her. When she turned that thing on, let me tell y'all, it's like somebody had flipped an outdoor light switch. I could see, and it was glorious. It doesn't take going out into a dark field in the middle of nowhere to go on a camp out to realize that we live in a dark and fallen world. Just look on your cell phone at any given point in the day or turn on the news, and I guarantee some story will come up talking about how something awful happened, and it just makes you think, at what point does this stop? When does it end? Friends, I'm here to remind you this morning that in this dark and fallen world, Jesus Christ is the light, and as Christian people, we are called to reflect that light to others. Sigmund Freud tells the story of a 3-year-old boy crying in a dark room of a home he was visiting one evening. "Auntie," the boy cried, "talk to me. I'm frightened because it's so dark." His aunt answered him from another room, "What good would that do? You can't see me." "That doesn't matter," replied the child. "When you talk, it gets light." This child was not afraid of the dark, but of the absence of someone he loved. What he needed was to feel secure by a presence. We all need the same. Presence is the basic sense of safety for all of us. And in this dark world, God's presence in our life is the light that can illuminate a world that is so dark. And in turn, we shine His light when we treat others with kindness, love, fairness, and grace, making the world around us a little bit brighter. Finally, I want to point us towards the last piece of our scripture text for today, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." In one Peanuts comic strip, you know, the cartoon with Snoopy, right? Sally was struggling to remember her Bible verse for Sunday. She was absorbing in her thoughts, trying to figure it out when she remembered. Maybe it was something from the book of reevaluation. She never did find that memory verse, But she always read the Bible with the intent of reevaluating. She read the Bible with the intent of reevaluating her attitudes and actions to make sure that they are in line with the truth of God's word. This is exactly what Jesus is trying to point out in the scripture we just read. God's laws were given so that people might follow him with their whole heart and mind. But throughout history, the laws became misinterpreted and misused. By the time Jesus walked on earth, the laws had become completely jumbled and were being misused for other people's benefit. His purpose was not to say that all the laws were bad and that they should be done away with, but to knowingly misuse them was. Jesus wanted to educate and to remind people of the law's original purpose, to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Because when we're loving God in that way, our actions follow suit, and we live a Christ-like life full of love and mercy. So where does all that leave us today? We are to tell others about Jesus. Our job as Christian people is not to come in here one Sunday morning, decide to follow Jesus, ask him to be the Lord of our life, get baptized, and then check off our to-do list because we're done. No, we're called to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, allow him to be the leader of our lives, and then help others to see how he can be a help to them too. It's an everyday commitment that requires us to allow his light to shine through us, and we do that by following the laws that he has given to us. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, how thankful we are for your grace and mercy that you freely give to us each and every day. God, what a gift it is to be called your sons and daughters, your children. The love that you have for us is unmatched and unwavering, and for that we say thank you. Help us to be the people you need us to be as we have the privilege of witnessing to those around us this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to challenge you with this last thought before we sing our closing hymn. So, what things do we need to change in our daily routine to help us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world for Jesus? Perhaps we need to open up this book a little bit more, to allow it to work in our hearts and minds, to reevaluate some of our attitudes and make some adjustments. Maybe we need to spend time talking with God more. Maybe we need to put others ahead of our own wants and desires, or maybe we need to remind ourselves that it is a privilege to be able to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and that is a privilege to share that gift with others. How is God speaking to you this morning, and how will you respond? Now is your time to spend a few moments asking him what you need to do.